Welcome once again to Landmarks for Living. This is Richard Melson, evangelist at the Needmore Road Church of Christ. And this is a radio ministry where every listener is encouraged to not only read, but study their Bible daily according to Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11. Friends, God is indeed concerned what you think. God is indeed concerned what you do. Today is July 5th, 2026, and we say happy belated birthday to the United States of America. Please check out our website at www.needmoreroadcoc.com. Past broadcasts of Landmarks for Living are archived at our website. Past issues of the Edify newsletter are available. And as you go to our website, if you have been a frequent visitor, you will please note that our website has been updated, and so you might need to be refamiliarize yourself with the navigation of the new website. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel. You only need to subscribe one time, but we would love for you to do so. Radio listeners, we would love for you to visit with us on Sundays at 2211 Needmore Road. The only way you can worship with us is by assembling at the facility. Bible study, 9:30 a.m. Worship at 10:30 a.m. and today, the first Sunday of the month, at 1 p.m. There is no 5 p.m. service today. And then we'll assemble again on Wednesday at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study, and we'll have more to say in a few moments regarding our summer series on Wednesday evening. I preach at everyone who listens to Landmarks for Living each Sunday morning on either 98.7 FM, WGNZ AM 1110, or FM 104.3. You may also listen to us online by streaming at either thesoulofdayton.com or WGNZ.com. Again, all at 8 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Friends, since the start of this program, the emphasis has not changed. It is to teach only that which is authorized by God in the Bible. If you have a question about anything that is taught during our broadcast, please write to us so that we can supply a Bible answer to your Bible question. You may write to us at Landmarks for Living, care of the Needmore Road Church of Christ, 2211 Needmore Road, Dayton, Ohio, 4-5-4-1-4. Or you may email me at dr.rdmelson@nmrcoc.com. Beloved, the Bible is the only approved standard for authority today in all matters of morality, ethics, and religion, according to 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse 13. Therefore, do not remove nor move the divine landmarks. We dare not step outside the sphere of divine authority and then try to pretend that we are walking by faith. For faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Keep this in mind, the way we treat the Scriptures, the Bible, God's Word, is the way that we treat the Lord. Dayton, are you listening? I hope that you've learned from our earlier studies that the Scriptures are the complete, sufficient, error-free source of truth. As such, Jehovah issued forth warnings in both the Old and the New Testaments, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2 and Revelation chapter 22 verses 18 and 19, not to add to or to take away from his word. Man has no authority, no right to tamper with the word of God. God's word is all the truth necessary for the genuine spiritual life, and it completely meets all the spiritual needs of mankind. Dayton, are you listening? As I said earlier, we are in the midst of our summer series, Be Encouraged, Studies in the Book of Hebrews. This week, we are in chapter 6, and the guest speaker will be Phil Greer from Springfield, Ohio. So Wednesday, 7 p.m., we'll be studying Hebrews chapter number 6 under the theme of Be Encouraged, Studies in the Book of Hebrews. Now, because yesterday was our nation's 250th birthday, we will deviate from our series on characters in the Bible. But I do want to also make this observation. This is for our youth, our young people who are listening. The Neatmore Road Church of Christ presents Built Different, Set Apart for Christ. It's going to be a youth conference, grow in faith, connect in fellowship, live different. Powerful teaching, meaningful fellowship, a faith that makes a difference every day. Be challenged, be encouraged. And one of the activities that they're planning will be on Saturday in August will be a bowling outing. So more to come. We anticipate having as the keynote speaker for the young people, former Ohioan who now lives and works in Miami, Florida, Gail Nelson, who is the CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Miami-Dade, Florida, and he will be the keynote speaker for this youth conference. More details coming, but it will be in August, so we'll have more to say about that, but just be ready, be paying attention to that coming. So here we go. We're talking about the fact that yesterday was the 250th birthday of our nation, the United States of America. And we pose this question: will God continue to bless America? You know, I deeply appreciate having been born in the United States of America. I thank God for all of the blessings provided not only for me and my family personally, but for us as a nation. This, I believe, is a great question. Will God continue to bless America? Let me make, many feel that God has already blessed America, and that our country constitutes the reincarnated Israel. You know, even this idea is embedded in some of our national songs. But is it historically true? Let me say right now that from a biblical standpoint, that the only Israel of God is the church. The Israel of God is a spiritual institution, and it is the church of our Lord. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 16, Paul writes and says, "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." Since the first century, the Israel of God is the church of our Lord, is the church of Christ. So let's dispel with that, and just because some songwriters make this observation does not make it valid. And so it's important to keep that thought in mind. Let's look at our history from a biblical perspective. Now, I want everyone who's listening to understand a couple of biblical principles, and we've talked about these in the past, but we need to reiterate this, and that is that it doesn't matter what the nation is, it doesn't matter what the system of governance per se is, we need to understand these fundamental principles. God is ruler over every nation in the world. In Daniel chapter 4 and verse number 17, God made this point. He said, "In order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men." Then in Daniel chapter 4, verse 25, he said, "You know that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men, kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he chooses." And Acts chapter 17 and verse 26 makes the same principle, same point. Every citizen of the United States ought to be mindful of the fact that God established America. And that's why the Apostle Paul would be inspired to make this observation in Romans chapter 13, "For every citizen in the world, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. So whatever power this great nation may possess, it is because of the almighty hand of the almighty God. You know, America needs to keep this great principle in mind, and we will come back to these two points. Whatever Paul said in Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4, that whatever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. The psalmist declared in Psalm 9 and verse 17 that the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And all the nations that forget God. Dayton, are you listening? It is important that our citizenry, that our populace become cognizant of the truth that God blesses and God curses those individuals who violate his will. As we just said in Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and the nations that forget God. For the kingdom is the Lord, and he rules over nations. Psalm 22:28, Daniel 4:17. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Psalm 33, verse 12. I would encourage you to also consider Daniel chapter 5, verses 18 through 28, and Revelation 18, 1 through 8. And so, while America is not a quote-unquote Christian nation, because the only Christian nation there is the Church of our Lord, America has been founded upon Judeo-Christian ethics. But America, as from a biblical perspective, is not a Christian nation, but it should be a nation of people who know who the creator of the universe is and are willing to submit to his direction through his word, and that our leaders would be willing to surrender themselves to God's word. You know, as we think about our nation, recent Supreme Court decisions, which tend to fly in the face of what we've just said, because we have leaders in every branch of our government who do not believe that they have to surrender to the will of Almighty God. You know, as we have entered into the 250th celebration of the birth of our nation, Americans can offer evidence that strongly suggests that God has blessed America. Our history as a nation is an ongoing, is an outgrowth of what we know as the Reformation movement in England. And our forefathers were strong believers in the need of freedom, or the need for freedom, to worship God in peace. And as I said, our current leadership is far removed from this great spiritual heritage. And it's not just this current leadership, but when I say I'm talking about our leadership of the last half century or more, these individuals seem to be far removed from this great spiritual heritage. And we are left to wonder, will God continue to bless America? Here is a simple prescription from Scripture. Yes, God will bless America if our leaders and our people don't forget God. Psalm 9, verse 17. Dayton, are you listening? Keep this in mind. The psalmist would declare in Psalm 11 and verse number 3. Psalm 11 and verse 3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know, the primary foundation that God has given to every nation upon the world is the biblical concept of family. If we keep God's concept of family together, this is going to help the nation to function in a much better way. The great menace of divorce and of remarriage, the great menace of fornication, the great menace of, as we pointed out a few weeks ago, the perversion, the plague of perversion, of homosexuality, all of these things threaten our nation because they threaten the home. And when the home is destroyed, when that foundation is destroyed, it is the which is one of the bedrocks of a nation, it will erode our country and has done so. In Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another, she will be called an adulteress. But if the husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Adultery, people don't even want to use the word anymore because they want to remove the stigma to this kind of relationship. Open fornication, open adultery contaminates the moral fabric of our land. Has anyone thought to inquire, what does the Bible say? Individuals jump in and out of quote unquote marriage. Well, what does the Word of God say? Hebrews chapter 13 says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Disrespect, you know, Dayton, are you listening? Will God continue to bless America? Yes, if we can keep the family together. Disrespectful children are undermining patriotism. You know, one of the things that is a sad commentary that I see as I go into the schools, a lack of respect for all standards of authority. But I understand partly why when I observe that the adults themselves do not have respect for authority. When the teachers and principals of a school do not have respect for authority, how do they expect the children then to have respect for the classroom teacher or for the building administrator when those adults have no respect for the nation? Dayton, are you listening? Violence in our schools are simply a prelude to national decay. Paul says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5, and he says, and from such people turn away. Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 3, Paul, in writing to the church at Ephesus and closing that book out, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Whether the family will remain intact will largely depend upon our sense of moral and spiritual responsibility. Dayton, are you listening? Finally, as concerned citizens, we ask, what can I do? Well, first, I mentioned this, we recognize that we should be subject to the authority of our country as it subscribes to God. Romans chapter 13, 1 through 1 and 2 and verse 5. The first thing I would remind an individual is this: what can we do to help this situation? Every individual who is of an accountable age should first become a Christian. The greatest thing we can do to help our nation so that God will continue to bless America is for those who are of accountable age to become a child of God by obeying the gospel, by becoming a Christian. That's the first thing, Matthew 28:18-20. Obey the gospel, become a Christian, become a citizen of the kingdom of God. And once one becomes a citizen of the kingdom of God, then work within the structure that you have been blessed with to influence people to do what God commands. And that's the important thing. Whatever our legal system is, we must be the light in the world. Paul wants us to know that those of us who are in Christ, we are to be the lights of the world. Philippians chapter 2, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, nor labored in vain. Philippians chapter 2, 12 through 16. We must remember our Creator, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. We must return daily to the distinctive pattern of biblical authority in all matters. John chapter 12 and verse 48. Peter says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. We must make sure that we are doing that which is authorized by God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 through 17. Allow each group to do their job. Our job as Christians is to sow the seed of the kingdom, water the seed of the kingdom so that God can give the increase. Allow our rulers to rule. We pray for them. Finally, it is discouraging to see the current direction of our nation, but I believe it can change if it is the if we would do that which God has commanded us to do, 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 4. And if it does, God will bless us to continue. But if it doesn't, we must remain faithful to God until the end, because he will deliver us even if he must punish America. Dayton, I hope you have been listening.